Hello, everybody, and welcome back.
I know it's been so long.
It is Culprits, Crafts, and Crimes, your favorite podcast in the world.
I'm Kate, and this is Carly. I know it's been so long since you guys have heard our voices. Usually, this is the moment where we'd say what craft we're doing. Gonna be brutally honest with you, instead of doing crafts this time, we got some enchiladas instead.
Yes.
They were $6.99. They were such a good deal. Rice, beans, chips, and salsa. We were having a good old crunch-a-munch time.
So, no craft today, but we have been crafting. If you follow us on our social media pages, we've been kind of posting here and there a couple things we've been working on.
We've been doing crafts on the sides, just not the crimes.
Yep. We've been gone for months, literally months, but we're back.
I'm just sorry. Yeah. We're just sorry. We're apologetic. So we do have good reasons. Unfortunately, it started off with us taking a small break for finals. Carly, everybody give Carly like a great round of applause. Carly finally graduated. Woo! I know. Woo! I'm right behind her, like a year shy. But we were taking finals, and that was such a big deal. And then as soon as things settled down from finals, I lost my grandfather. Carly. Oh my God, Carly lost so many family members, her mother lost so many family members, and it was just time to just take a small break and recoup from everything.
Yep, so.
A lot of bad stuff happened, so we're like, let's just take a small little pause.
Yes.
And then a pause turned into like a hiatus, like a couple months hiatus.
A literal MIA.
It's okay, but we're back now, we're more dedicated to this. There is good news. If you guys do follow the social media pages, you will see that I did adopt a baby, a puppy. Not a baby. I wish. A puppy. He's my baby. But yes. He's a little collie shepherd mix. Tiny as
absolutely adorable. Tiny.
His name is Archer, but everyone calls him Archie, which is just fine with me. If you check the social media pages, you'll see a picture of him. He is now involved with the crime solving with us. He's adorable. He's a gem. But for future reference, you have heard my elderly dog bark in the background. But if you hear a cute little like, ow, it's Archie. It's the noise he makes. He doesn't bark well. He just, ow. Super cute.
Yes.
Anyway.
So we're adding to the family here. Of
I know. We have a whole gang. We're like Scooby and the gang, dude.
We are. No, and so you've probably read the title of our episode today. This is number 11 for us so far, so we're kind of trucking our way through here.
No, we're pushing through. We appreciate your guys' continued support, and we're so happy to be back. And this is one of those ones that we do want to hear from you guys about. It is unsolved.
Yes.
But there's a lot of different potential suspects and... Carly, tell us who we're talking about today. You picked it out. It was a good one.
All right. Today we are going to be talking about none other than the Black Dahlia case. So if you're unfamiliar with this, we'll give you a little bit of a brief overview.
I'm ashamed to admit I didn't hear of it until you sent it to me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Coming from like living in California, I had heard of it before. And I have family members that live kind of near where everything kind of went down. So I'd always been aware of it, but never really dug into it too much. And
like a little horror story where like you grew up just like, hey, Carly, be safe because this could happen to you.
Right?
It's a brutal case. Like I'm ready to dig into this.
Yes. So just starting this thing off, around 10 to 11 a.m. on January 15th of 1947, Betty Bersinger was just pushing her daughter in a stroller through Lambert Park in kind of South LA when something kind of caught her eye in the middle of like a weeded vacant parking lot. So she walked over and found a naked female body severed at the waist. Ugh. And just kind of off of the sidewalk, and just the way that it was positioned, it looked like a mannequin. She thought from far away that it just kind of looked like some dismembered mannequin of sorts. So she walks over, realizes that it's actually a real, you know, human being. And but there was interesting because there was no blood.
Right. That what's so nothing. Interesting about it is it was dismembered in a way that was very clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like surgical cuts. Someone, you know, knew what they were doing, but there was no blood on the grass, no blood on the corpse, and no blood whatsoever at the crime scene, which led police to believe that this was obviously just a dump site. She wasn't murdered here. But she was completely drained of blood. Like, yeah. There was not a drop of it anywhere.
Yeah, her skin was just extremely pale, and it had been, it looked like it had been, you know, days, if not weeks.
She had been cleaned before she was dumped as well. Like, the investigators noticed that despite all of the grotesque injuries on her body, she had been cleaned and drained of blood before being dropped, which is... Like, I'm gonna go into it later, like, all the information from the autopsy. I do have a FBI profile that I want to share with you guys, but the difference in, like, how her body was treated and, like, I don't know, just cleaning it up, I don't know if that was, like, maybe a sign of remorse or more of just, like, nobody can know, let's clean up my evidence.
Yeah, so after, you know, this poor lady starts to get closer and examine what's going on. She, of course, you know, freaks out, runs to a neighborhood house and, you know, calls authorities. And immediately, some, you know, back, I mean, I guess it still happens, but news always travels so fast.
So fast.
So right as soon as she had called, you know, they finally end up coming to the property, but tons of news reporters, magazine editors.
Big case, yeah. Too, like a dismembered woman in like a park. Mm-hmm. Like that's grotesque, and that's something, yeah, you want to jump on.
Nothing had really happened in LA area really until a little bit before was like the whole Zodiac killer stuff in San Francisco. So not much else had kind of been going on as far as like a serious murder, right, situation. So everyone of course jumped to get into
see what's
that.
Going on, yeah.
Yeah. And so I kind of want to dig into a little bit of how they were able to identify this victim.
It was interesting. Like, so they... It's not funny. I have to stress this again. I feel like in every episode we do, we laugh because we're uncomfortable. Yeah. Not because we find it entertaining. But, so, it was interesting how she was identified. Elizabeth Short, who is the Black Dahlia, I don't know if we mentioned... But the police ended up fingerprinting the corpse at the scene, which I even mentioned to Carly, like, how awkward would it have been to be that officer that, yeah, had to, like, bend down to this mutilated, dismembered corpse to get her fingerprints. But they sent the fingerprints over to the FBI with a sound photo machine, which was basically like an early fax machine.
Yeah.
And within, like, 56 minutes, they got a hit. But
which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, of course, this base is out of LA, right? And they send it all the way to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So.
Right? And that's, yeah, like, that was, it's interesting because obviously now technology has advanced so quickly. But back then, like, that was such
that
a
was
big.
That was the only database they had.
Right? And that was such a big thing because it's what helped identify her so quickly, which helped push their investigation further. They had found her fingerprints so quickly within the 56 minutes because she had fingerprints in two different places. It's kind of funny. One's for good reasons, one's for bad,
yeah,
reasons. She applied to work in the commissary of the U.S. Army base. So obviously, if you're going to work, mm-hmm, in the military, you're going to be fingerprinted, background checks, things like that. And I imagine probably why she might not have gotten the job is because she was arrested in Santa Barbara, California on September 23rd, 1943 for underage drinking.
Literally just like a couple months after she had applied for that job.
Yeah. I mean, the girl's got confidence. She's like, listen, it don't matter. Here you go. But she, that's how she was identified, which is good and bad. Like, I did see pictures of her face from, mm-hmm, an autopsy photo. She had been... beaten, like her mm-hmm, forehead, it almost looked like burns, but yeah, I think it was just like beaten in.
Yeah.
She had a big, I don't want to describe it as like a Joker cut, but she had, yeah, been cut from ear to ear with a knife, creating this like grisly, bloody grin across her face.
Yeah, and I mean, they had mugshots from when they had taken her in,
right,
for that, so they sent those over and media took, you know, to...
Comparing the two pictures, like, here, I'll show Carly, like, mugshot,
oh,
yeah, autopsy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you couldn't, by just looking,
no,
at her, you could not identify her. Like, if you're okay with more grotesque images, I would encourage you to go look it up.
Yeah.
But it's this poor girl.
Poor thing. Yeah, so she was only 22 years old, so she's still relatively young. And she
young
was actually,
aspiring actress.
Yeah, she was like a young aspiring actress trying to get her name in Hollywood. And she had just done a role, kind of, oh yeah, I guess we should is describe like why she's called the Black Dahlia.
That would make sense.
that would probably be beneficial. We're great at our jobs. It's been
such a hot minute. We have all this information. Like we know what we're talking about, but like there's so much to like really explain and get into.
Yeah. So she, of course, is like I mentioned, trying to get herself into filmmaking and an actress. And she had recently done a film called The Blue Dahlia. And when they found her and identified her, they were able to kind of, okay, we know who she is. And media kind of also went with like lurking about, oh, like what kind of person she is. And it looks like she kind of used to wear a lot of black clothing, like sheer black outfits and stuff. So that was kind of her thing. But her hair is also like really dark, like jet black.
Apparently, the case was kind of called the werewolf murder. And then when they like began to identify her, go back into her history, because she wasn't, you know, she was an aspiring actor. She wasn't very, very well known.
Yeah.
But they dubbed her the Black Dahlia because of the movie she was in and due to her dark clothes and hair.
Mm-hmm. So then, that's pretty much how it's known. Like, no one, I've never heard anyone, like, calling her by her name or anything, so.
No.
It's always been known as that.
I do feel bad. Like, the news was super mean to her. Like, they described her as, like, a sex fiend, an escort. They described her as a lesbian who seduced men for money and lavish gifts before just dumping them cold when they wanted anything in return from her. So, like, I imagine also, like, the name Black Dahlia is also meant to kind of, you know, give like a little clue to that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's not a flattering name, but I feel like it was also like meant to shame her a little, which makes me sad.
I know. So kind of after, like, once this whole investigation kind of kicked off, people for some unknown reason, I still don't understand this. About 60 plus people, like, after the fact, altogether counted, all like pretty much said, yeah, it was me. They confessed.
They started confessing, and it, you know, was awful for police because how are you supposed to know what's true and what isn't?
Mm-hmm.
Which also contributed to the confusion and why, you know, evidence, you know, and when you have so many suspects all telling you, oh, I did it.
You have to look into it. It's not like you can just be like, haha, that's probably a joke.
Right. Well, so, okay. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. There's like two suspects that I wanted to personally like dive into, but so this is a little bit of a disclaimer. I do want to talk about what her autopsy showed and what was found, and then dig into this FBI profile and then give you guys the conspiracies and some of the suspects so you can kind of come to your own conclusions, because it's like, I know how I feel about it. There's interesting aspect to it. Her death was brutal. Like, her official cause of death was cerebral hemorrhage, mm-hmm. and shock. And if you look at the autopsy photo of her face, like, she was clearly beaten in the head. Like, that was definitely what caused her death.
I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of, like, her face skin was, like, shaved off. So it's very... Yeah,
part of her face was cut off and everything like that. And that might have been to damage her beauty.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that her being cut in half was post-mortem, which, good, you know, small victories, little wins there, but there was a lot of grotesque things done to this poor girl. Again, small disclaimer, only going to briefly dive into it. If you don't want to hear, maybe skip like a minute ahead. There was no sperm present on the body because the killer had washed the body clean or no sperm was even around, but there was numerous cuts and a crisscross pattern over her pubic area, and her pubic hair had been removed by hand.
Yeah.
So it wasn't shaved, which was weird. Like, why would you ripping out?
Like plucking.
I don't know if it was plucking or just like ripping, but removing it by hand was very, very strange. I know that her face was cut up. Her skin was cut in different places. I think you mentioned that she had found, like, the autopsy report had shown that she had been tortured before her death with various things stuffed into her mouth, like feces.
Yeah.
Just gonna ghost over that. That's nasty. But obviously this poor woman was tortured before she was killed. And because of the grotesque way that she was murdered, the presentation of her body just kind of being dumped in a park, even though she had been drained of all of her blood and cleaned, I don't know if that was... Like, draining her of her blood, like, that's... interesting because she was there was not a drop found at the crime scene. No. But to clean her body, I don't know if that was to get rid of any evidence or if that was like post-mortem guilt or something by her serial killer or killer. I don't know if it's serial.
Because normally if that kind of situation happens, it's usually either really personal or you just have like a weird obsession with,
And because she was, she was an aspiring actress. Like, you know, she could have had fans. Police did recover or were sent her, like, what's it called? The book that she had with all of her names
in it? Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So, throughout the investigation, the police kind of think that the killer was just mailing in stuff because they would receive letters with, like, the first thing being her birth certificate.
Right.
And then another one being, here's her social security card. And then they ended up bringing in an address book as well.
Right. And in this address book, it had all the names of all these men. Mm-hmm. And at the time, she was dating a married man. Like, she had been missing for 6 days. The last person who had seen her was her married man boyfriend. And he had dropped her off at the hotel. And she went to go meet her sister. I don't think she did. And then showed up 6 days later dead in a park.
Yeah.
But an FBI profiler, John Douglas, believed the killer must have known, Elizabeth Short, the Black Dahlia, well, and had some emotional attachment to her, which I would 100% agree with, because the horrific, like, violence and grotesque way that she was tortured and murdered would, you know, symbolize that there's some hatred there. They probably wanted to destroy her sense of beauty, humiliate her by dumping her in that park. You know, the killer could have seen this as a way as, like, payback if it was someone that she had dated and maybe discarded. You know, he could be like, this is revenge for all the wrongdoings you had done to me. John Douglas described the killer as a white male in his late 20s or older with a high school education. He likely lives alone, works with his hands, and is comfortable with knives and blood, possibly a butcher or a slaughterhouse worker. Because of the, you know, draining of the blood, a butcher or a slaughterhouse worker would make sense. They probably know how to drain the blood out of animals.
Yeah.
But with how, like, there was also mention of the surgical cuts done, like, to her skin. And when she was dismembered, it was clean, like, more clean cut, so maybe some practice. But due to all of this information, like, there was just a big list of suspects. Most of them who wrote themselves on that suspect list themselves. Like, why would you?
I don't understand why you would put yourself in that position to be like, hey, it was me. Look into my entire life.
Right. Like, and that's the other thing. Look into my entire life. Question me. Like, I don't know if it was for the fame because the media was going crazy. Like, because
obviously all these people's names are now on, the internet.
Right. And I know that the Zodiac Killer was suspected at one point because that was kind of going around at the time, and that might be why there was such a media frenzy. Obviously, that's just a very small conspiracy. There was a couple others, like, her death was linked to the Cleveland Torso Murders, a string of murders that occurred in 1934 to 1938. 12 victims were all dismembered and found in various different locations, and the killer was never caught. So they tried to maybe say, like, hey, she was dismembered, they were dismembered. It was in different places, like, obviously Cleveland and Cleveland, Ohio, and Los Angeles are different, but they're like, maybe he took a vacation and went over there and murdered her. Because they were never caught. That was also one of the small conspiracies. Another one was she was linked to the lipstick murder. 1 month after Elizabeth Short's murder, another body was found in Los Angeles. It was a naked woman found in the grass. She had dark hair like Elizabeth Short. She was also badly beaten. But the most interesting form of information was she had a message in red lipstick written on her stomach that said FUBD, the initials BD, which a lot of people assume to be Black Dahlia, and then the letters TEX underneath it. I don't know what the TEX is. I don't know if those are supposed to be initials. It's supposed to be like Texas or like, because Tex has no redeeming kind of qualities to me. Like, it doesn't really stand out as anything. So I thought maybe it was initials. So I went like looking through some of the suspects like, hey, you got any TEXs? But I find that interesting. The FUBD 1 month after the Black Dahlia murder. Like, I can see why they might connect it. That killer was also never found.
Yeah.
And police were worried to, you know, link the two because they didn't want to definitively say without any more information. But obviously, that's That's pretty coincidental if they were two separate incidences. There was only two suspects out of, like, I know that there was, like, six primary ones. And, like, 50, 60 other ones. There is, if you guys go online, there is a whole big book, basically, that goes through all the different suspects if you want to look at them. The two that I wanted to talk about were the two that had books written about them. And I only chuckle at that because it was, like, years and years later when these books were written that they became, like, more notorious suspects because these people, like, took the time to dive into the history and the past and be like, no, I feel so passionately about this person's guilt that I'm going to write these books. And, like, go off, but also...
Yeah. Like, okay, well, here we go.
Right. The first was George Hodel. He is one of the most notorious suspects, the most commonly suspected person. Like, everyone were... Like, I think a lot of people think he was the one who did it. He was a physician who ran a venereal disease clinic in L.A. in the 1940s. Police, you know, did suspect him. They bugged his house during the investigation and didn't really come up with anything, unfortunately. When he died in 1999, his son Steve accused him of killing the Black Dahlia in his 2003 book, Black Dahlia Avenger, The True Story. I mean, pretty direct there. I've never heard of that book. I mean, I might want to read it after this, because, like, I mean, that's pretty brutal to accuse your dad of murder after his death. But I guess Steve said that he found like letters and everything that matched the letters that were sent to the police, like, the handwriting.
Like, the handwriting matched.
Yeah, they weren't about the Black Dahlia, the letters, but the handwriting matched.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, it's a stretch, but he found, like, a photo in his dad's photo album and of a dark-haired woman that semi-resembled the Black Dahlia, Elizabeth. And again, I guess. And he said that his background in, you know, being a doctor and all explained the precise clinical cuts on the body. But I feel like he was also kind of discredited because Steve also, after, like, his book kind of got some traction, he also began to accuse his dad of other murders, even saying that he might be the Zodiac killer. I was like, Steve, you kind of had me semi-convinced, not really, but semi, and then you went a little too far, bit off a little too much.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, it seems to be a little bit extra.
Right?
Than just be like, all right, you know what? My dad actually, he's the one and
only. Not only did he kill the Black Dahlia, he's also the most, nefarious, like, unsolved, uncaught serial killer. I don't believe you, Steve.
No, it's a little far-fetched. But I think that he has some good points because, his dad was a doctor. He did understand. And, like, the type of cut that was used to, like, separate him, they were recently teaching that in the type of, like, environment and, like, the school that his father was involved in.
Right.
So it's like, well, then he would have obviously known how to do it. So then that makes sense. But so were other doctors and other people.
Right.
Or maybe that's just a common thing that are, like, you know, butchers and, like, people like that know how to do.
I don't know. I'm not a butcher, thank God. But, like, I don't know. But that's, he did have enough. It was all circumstantial.
Yeah.
But he did have enough evidence or, like, good points to cause, obviously, like, doubt or suspicion, which is why his father was, like, suspected.
Yeah.
But another... It's not funny. It's not funny. When I was reading about this other suspect, it made me laugh because Leslie Dillon was a bellhop in the hotel that Elizabeth was going to be, like, visiting or where she was dropped off at. He was suspected by a lot of officers. Later on, like, in years to follow, would say that if they were to pick a person, it would probably be Leslie. They assume, like, you know, they thought he was guilty. And they said, if not of the actual murder, of it, you know, like, at least of an accomplice. Because when he was questioned by police, he knew a lot about the murder.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. And it was more than what you would probably know just by watching the news or following the case because it was so recent.
Yeah.
He gained renewed attention in 2017 when, I think it's pronounced Pew, P-I-U, Eatwell, argued his guilt in a book, Black Dahlia, Red Rose. It's only funny because this person was so convicted of Leslie Dillon's guilt that, again, they wrote a book about it. But, like, in the book, Eatwell was like, the only reason he got away was due to a dirty cop and, you know, like, this, he's guilty and we need to be angry. And I was like, dude.
Mind you, this entire whole situation with him came from him contacting authorities.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, I don't live, you know, in LA anymore. I live in, I think it was like Florida or something. He's like, I have reason to believe that my friend is the one who killed Black Dahlia. And so the police were like, they had like some psychologist and like psychiatrist there. And they're like, actually, you know what? Because he knows so much, it must have been him. So let's lure him out to LA to ask him questions. They try to set up this scenario with like some like gangster squad that the police put together to like kind of try to pull a confession out of him. And then Dylan was smart enough to like somehow sneak some note out of the window of where he was kind of being held. And was like, this is what's happening to me, help me. And then they're like, okay, we've been caught. And that whole situation was illegal to begin with. Like, they weren't actually allowed to do those kind of things.
Right. And yeah, that caused a whole string of everything else. Yeah. But it's interesting because these two people, like, there's arguments for their guilt. So I understand the purpose of these books, but you know, they were never convicted. The case is still open. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still obviously unsolved. It's still open. And because police did have to, I am going to say, waste time going through all these other suspects that were just saying it, throw like their name in the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like copycats. And it's like, listen, you are wasting police time and resources. I'm sorry, I like semi-burped because of enchiladas. But like, you're wasting police time and resources because they obviously have to look into somebody confessing to a murder. Yeah. Especially a murder they're actively trying to solve. But it's like, you trying to get your 15 minutes of fame cost this poor woman's killer to get away.
Yeah.
Now, there's arguments made for a lot of different people. Personally, I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, George Holden, or Holden, whatever his name is, George, the Dr. George, I think that there's a good case against him. That makes sense. But also, she was dating a married man. Don't approve. But she was dating a married man, and if all those men in her book were people that she was seeing or trying to see, you know, the news was reporting her as a sex fiend, which is mean. But if there was some truth to that and she was stringing along all of these men, you know, there's obviously going to be some jealousy. There's going to be some resentment. If these men were married, their wives would obviously be suspects as well. I just feel with such a grotesque murder, I don't think it would be a woman. I don't think even a scorned woman, I do not think would.
I think women usually act out in rage and anger. And because everything was so clean and precise, that I don't think it would have had that much.
Right. Well, and women don't usually do grotesque murders. No. Women's usually drown, like poison suffocate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing that leaves a lot of blood.
Yeah. That seems like a big mess.
Yeah, and that seems like a huge mess. And like, the other thing is, like, where could you go to drain someone completely of their blood?
Be able to move them,
but it's like, where did all that blood go?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was not a drop of it at the crime scene, not a drop of it on her body. Where did that blood go? I feel like a doctor having blood on him, you know, especially if he is learning surgical cuts, it would make sense. Like, it wouldn't be as weird. Or even a butcher, if there was a butcher around, like, that wouldn't be, you know, too far-fetched.
It's like, motive
is what makes me pause here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the FBI profiler says, like, this person knew her. They had to, due to the intense way that she died, she was treated.
And very, like, personable.
It's very personal. Like, don't get me wrong, there's obviously more aggressive serial killers killers or murderers that just want to harm people, that take joy or pleasure out of torture. But this poor girl was tortured, murdered, and dismembered, and then just dumped off like nothing.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's meant, the torture and the dismemberment was meant to humiliate her, bashing her face in like that, shoving all those things in her like they did, and cutting her up that way, like that's meant to, and then just dumping her in a park, that's meant to humiliate her, show her as like the trash that I'm sure they saw her as. Like, his profile makes sense. I just want to know what the motive is. I feel like it'd have to be a romantic, like, scorned lover or something, right? Something. Maybe someone she rejected.
Yeah, because, like, police kind of started digging into, they ended up having to go through, and it was about, like, 75 guys in that address book. They went and found them all, talked to them all, And after coming up with, you know, all those reports and, like, kind of looked over the stories, it was kind of the same thing. They had only known her very briefly.
Right.
I think she just kind of used, like, their sympathy as, like, kind of being... She was out there by herself. Like, she kind of was living life on her own.
Couch surfing.
Yeah. So, essentially, it could have just been out of pity and sympathy that they were trying to, you know, help her or take her in. And she just get what she needs and move on to the next.
Right. And, I mean, if that's how you're going to do it, that's how you're going to do it. I just... It's motive that makes me pause because, mm-hmm. you know, while the doctor and even the bellhop look good for it, why?
Yeah.
Why?
There's no
Because there's reason. So much anger behind this murder. I just, and I mean, I've been called things because, like, I've rejected a man even very politely. Like, unfortunately, it's a scary world we live in. Some people are quick to anger, mm-hmm. but I just, it's so brutal. Like, it's so brutal. And I just feel so, like, sad for this poor woman who had such a horrible thing happen to her just for her killer to go free.
Yeah, there's, like, no reason for any of that to have happened. Like, to this, I mean, obviously we don't know her. We didn't know her, so we don't know how innocent she really was, but...
I mean, listen. Even if the girl, I stand by this fact, even if this girl was out sleeping with any man who looked at her, any man who looked at her hopping from person to person, I don't agree with sleeping with married men. That's wrong. But even if she was, she did not deserve to be murdered the way that she was. She did not deserve to be murdered and tortured and dumped, like, in a park.
Either you must have had thought that she had done something so wrong to you, or it was just an act of stranger bystander, the closest I could find, but that... This seems unlikely to me.
It just seems unlikely. I think the FBI profiler had it right. I think it's someone she knew. It could have been someone she did sleep with. It could have been someone she rejected. It could have been even somebody who saw how she was. You know, mm-hmm. maybe if they were like, oh my God, she's, you know, sleeping with all these men. Like, she needs, you know, she needs to not be alive anymore. It could be something like that. You don't know. And there's so many different possibilities. And while I don't believe that suspect list is truly as large as it seems... There's a lot that it could be, you know? Those 75 men have people who care about them that could have felt scorned enough to do this. But, I mean, interesting case. Sad case. Interesting one, though.
I know.
It's sad that it's unsolved. I usually like the ones that are resolved and solved, but... Mm-hmm. It was interesting and disheartening to read. If you don't have, like, a weak stomach, I do encourage you to go look at some of those autopsy reports, because once you see them, you'll know what we mean. Like, it's easy to say, like, hey, this poor girl was beaten, but once you see how she looked when she was found, you'll understand the anger and the resentment and the hatred that had to be behind her murder.
Oh, yeah. And if you look this up, too, there's going to be so many conspiracies just because,
conspiracies.
So old that people have started just linking it to everything imaginable.
And it's only funny because, like, some of them are so bizarre. Like, to where you're like, okay, so you just got bored one night and you're like, hey!
Let's make up a story about, So, have fun. Feel free to check it out and let us know your thoughts. If you have ever listened to this case or looked into it before, we want to know what you think. If you've ever
Carly, final thoughts. Who do you think done it? Who do you think is best case scenario?
I would say something... at least, I would say a doctor or someone with medical expertise.
Yep.
And that's what I'm going with.
Yep, I don't think...
Whether or not it was George, I don't know.
Right? It has to be a doctor, though.
Yeah, because his... Kind of the reason why he got caught up in all this was because his daughter had kind of accused him of, like, inappropriately messing with her. And so that's why the police were like, oh, let me look into this.
He's a creepy creep, so he must have...
Yeah. And they're like, murderer. Oh, you're a doctor? You know how to cut things? Oh, it's probably you.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. But I kind of think it would be someone with medical expertise.
Right, just because the cuts were clean. Yeah. I'm sorry. I am on day, like, 3 of sleeping two hours max because as much as I love the sweet little papa dog, he do not sleep through the night. So I don't sleep through the night. And then as soon as my elderly dog wakes up, you know, I don't sleep even more. They're on the same nap schedule, but not the same sleep schedule. So bear with me.
Yes. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this. Please share it. Yes. Let all your friends know that we are back in town.
Yeah, right? We're not just going to disappear again. I mean, honestly, I was waiting for somebody to make a case about our disappearance.
You're like, wow, you guys, you started and then just gone.
Yeah, right? But we are back. We have new puppy friends to help us. We have good cases ahead of you. And obviously don't judge us for choosing enchiladas over crafts for this one, but we will have nicer crafts for you guys as well.
100%. So thank you all so much for listening, and like I said, follow us, share.
Yeah, go to Instagram and Facebook. You'll find us under Corpus Crap and Fry. Yeah, dude, the puppy's there. And if you don't follow just for the puppy alone, like, you should start questioning some of your life choices.
We should just start pictures of all of our pets.
Yeah, right? All pets of Corpus Crap and Crimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
Thank you all so much, and we will see you soon.